Good morning and Happy New Year. Welcome to First Christian Church, to all our visitors and guests today, and to those of our members and regular attenders, welcome home. As we prepare for worship this morning, let's remember to turn off our cell phones or silence any noisemakers we have as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we listen to our prelude from Arlen. Thank you, Arlen. It's been a fairly quiet week here at First Christian Church between Christmas and New Year's. We have a few announcements today. You can find those on the blue sheet in your bulletin. Elders will resume normal meetings tomorrow night at 6:30. There will be an orientation at that meeting for any new elders, so if you can, please make it. The church directory, it's time to do that song and dance again. And the directory is out on the card table right by the office, so if you could please check your information. If it looks good, put a red check on it. If it doesn't, make the appropriate changes then in the book with the red pen as well, so that Kathy then can get those out. This Wednesday, there is a youth group meeting, so if that applies to someone in your family or to you, make note of that. A couple announcements that aren't in the bulletin. After service today, we will be undecorating the church from Christmas. And so if anyone is willing to help out with that and make it go a little quicker, we'd really appreciate that. The other announcement is several of you have purchased calendars from Josh Woods, and several of you have asked if there's more, or that you know someone that wants them. They're going to make one last order of those calendars. So if you want one, just reach out to Josh, and they'll get that taken care of for you. And he said to let you know that this is the last calendar update. He promises. So are there any other announcements that need to be made today?
There is.
One right here. Yes. Oh, good. Good.
Just so you know.
Thank you, Peg. It is in your bulletin to stay after church and undecorate. The frantic call from Amber then to remind you all was unwarranted, I guess. No. The other thing, that reminded me, Peg, of things that are printed. There's a schedule adjustment next Sunday. And not really, just as an adjustment from what's written on the blue sheet. Chapel will not just be 10 minutes next week. Linda was getting all sorts of excited and cutting her devotional in half. And it will still be at 8:15. And although we started about this time today, worship will be back at 10:10 next week as well. So Just so you know, we're a little off on our times there for next Sunday, but we'll get organized and handle that. So just so you know, 8:15 and 10:10 like normal. Perfect. Judy. Scholarships are due last Monday. Next Monday. Like tomorrow or? So not this Monday. Next Monday, scholarship applications are due. So if that applies to you or someone in your family, please make sure that gets in. Any other? That's a wonderful question. Yeah. If you want a poinsettia, just come up to me after service, $5. And no, those that donated, Melanie's right, I misprint here. For those that donated poinsettias, please take one, take it home and everything. And yeah, they need a little love, so take them home and foster a poinsettia. Anything else? All right, well, that's enough laughing and everything. Let's get serious. And stand up and greet those one around you and wish everybody Happy New Year, and then we'll come together and sing our hymnal. Would you please join with me in the call to worship? Herod's treachery could not stop hope.
God's light, signaled by a star, was poured out for all people.
All the fears and fights of this world cannot diminish God's light.
That
Thanks be to God for the most precious gift of light.
Let us live as people of new light and hope.
Would you please pray with me? Dear Lord, it's as if on tiptoe we rise. All darkness in our lives we expose to the light of this your day. We, your people, have come to worship, and we are glad. So fill us with you, fill us with your spirit in these moments that the nations are able to see your light radiate from the life of God that is ours. Lord, hear us today as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Please turn in your hymnal to page 160. We will sing together, "Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming." On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns and joys of the congregation. As we share these, I encourage you to reach into the pew rack in front of you and take out a prayer card. Write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. Our card share this morning is for Jim Oliver. Jim is back in worship with us, and we are so thankful to have him here. He is giving thanks for answered prayers in his life. He has been struggling, and he feels that God is helping him to find the answers that he needs to give him strength and courage. And Jim, we continue to pray for you. Jim, we pray for you as you go to AA and struggle with that addiction, that God will give you the strength. to live clean and sober, and we rejoice that you and Mary are working together on things. We have a long list of names of folks who are in treatment for cancer. We continue to pray for healing for Laura Chipperfield and Lindy Bland and others. We rejoice with Mark Steinle that he is currently in remission, and we pray for health for him. Tammy Heck had knee surgery and is recovering well. Prayers for her. We continue to pray for Debbie Mestis as she recovers from surgery. She was here early this morning, puttering downstairs, making coffee and stuff. She's there. Hi, Debbie. It's always great to see you in church, and we just don't want you to overdo. We want you to take care of yourself and be well and strong. A long list of our senior members, those who live in nursing homes, those who are homebound, some of whom have moved out of state to be with family. We pray for those who need care and for caregivers. Week of Compassion has been busy in the last week, responding on our behalf to flooding in the Midwest, to tornadoes, as well as snow and ice storms that have damaged homes and stranded communities. Prayers for all who are affected by weather recently. Prayers of comfort for the family of a community member, Mike Ito, passed away recently. Prayers for his family. Many years ago, Mike was an assistant scoutmaster here at First Christian. He was very involved with the Shriner Association, the Calliope Clown Group. He was a partner in running theaters here in town, had been in the restaurant business. Many of you know him just because you've been in Casper for a long time. Prayers of comfort for all those who will be grieving for Mike's passing. Prayers also for Paul Halleck, who will be leading the service. Prayers as he prepares to officiate on Tuesday. Are there other concerns this morning that we want to share or joys we want to lift up? Keith. Prayers for Pam Rouse, who is struggling with bronchitis, and prayers for a friend in California, Anna Maloney, who has pancreatic cancer. Tom.
I won't be here next time. I got a bowling tournament Tuesday. I'm flying to California. See my grandson first time.
Now, I have to be careful how I say this, because it's a joy Tom won't be here next Sunday. But that's not what we mean. It's a joy that he gets to go to a bowling tournament. We'll miss having him in worship, and we'll look forward to him coming back. So thank you for sharing that excitement and adventure. Prayers of safe travels, and that you do your very best when you bowl. Are there any others? Debbie. Amen. Just in case you couldn't hear Debbie, she's giving thanks to all those who help with the sandwich ministry every Saturday, those who helped serve food on Christmas Day, and everyone who contributed so many hats and gloves and warm items to be shared with the needy in our community. Prayers from friends at the sandwich ministry, a young man who lost his best friend recently, prayers of comfort for him, and prayers of comfort for Shelley, whose Uncle Everett has passed away. Amanda.
A childhood friend of mine passed away this weekend, and she leaves behind 3 children. So I just pray that it's for peace and God's presence in their lives.
Prayers for the family of one of Amanda's friends who passed away and leaves behind children. Prayers of peace and comfort for all of them. Let us bring all of these petitions to the Lord as we share together in a time of sacred silence. O God of grace and glory, you are the bringer of light in the world's darkness. At the beginning of time, you cast the stars across the heavens. Every day we watch the sun rise, and we marvel that your Son, Jesus our Savior, has risen, and by his light we live. We pray, O God, for those who struggle with darkness, for those who know despair or grief, who are burdened by addiction, who face mental illness. Lord, we pray that your light will break through for each one in tangible ways. We rejoice with Jim that he is finding answers to prayers fervently offered. We continue to pray for Jim and for all who struggle with addiction. We pray for Jim and Mary that their marriage might be strong and blessed with your presence. Lord, there are many here this morning who are mourning friends who have passed. We pray for the family of Mike Ito, for Amanda's friend, for a young man at the Sandwich Ministry, and for Shelley, whose uncle has passed away. O God, for all who grieve, for all who enter this new year missing the presence of a loved one at their side, we ask your comfort and your strength and your peace. We rejoice, O God, that our congregation has a role to play in sharing the light of your love with the world and the warmth of your love in our community, by giving hats and gloves and scarves and socks to warm the hands and feet and heads and hearts of those who receive them. Lord, we pray for Tom as he travels, that you might bring him home safely to us and bless him well on his journey. Be with Pam and help her to recover from bronchitis. And God, we join with Keith and Pam in praying for Anna and for others who live with cancer. Bless Tammy and others who are recovering from surgery. And we pray for those in the Midwest and other parts of the country affected by extreme weather, for people who are rebuilding homes, cleaning up from storms. May they have strength and courage. And may the presence of a helping hand bear witness to your light and your love. O God, for all the prayers that we have named to you today, those spoken aloud and those held silently in our souls, we ask for your mercy, for your will to be done, for your forgiving grace to be poured out in abundance, for the gift of healing, for your presence in our world. O God, thank you for hearing us when we pray and for answering. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. This past week, Charles and I enjoyed a trip away with our Norwegian son, Peter. We took him snowboarding at Grand Targi, and the snow was terrific. He had a marvelous time. Last Sunday, Charles and I drove around the mountain pass from Driggs, Idaho, over to Idaho Falls to be in worship with other disciples. There were about 20 of us gathered last Sunday at First Christian Church in Idaho Falls. We enjoyed worship together, and then they had a coffee and fellowship time. So we went downstairs to Fellowship Hall and greeted folks and shared the joy of knowing one another, belonging to each other in Christ, and beginning friendships there. At the end of coffee time, somebody got everybody's attention and made an announcement. There was a box of potatoes sitting on the table. Charles and I looked at each other and said, "Of course, we're in Idaho. Why wouldn't they have potatoes?" Someone had an abundance of potatoes she was giving away, so the freebie for guests and members alike that day was as many potatoes as you could handle. We brought home Idaho potatoes. So sometime this week, we'll probably have baked potatoes or mashed potatoes at our house. And when we do, we'll think of brothers and sisters at Idaho Falls. You never know when somebody invites you to church what kind of food they'll try to pawn off on you. It might be a plate full of more calories than you can handle in the guise of Christmas cookies and candy. It might be a Thanksgiving, a feast with extra turkey coming out your ears. It might be a box of potatoes. At any rate, when you leave, you feel full. At the Lord's table, the menu is simple, and the bread and the cup. It might not fill our stomachs, but oh, how it does indeed have the potential to fill our souls with the love of Christ shared in fellowship at the Lord's table. All who are here today who long to know God's love in Jesus are invited to share the loaf and the cup as they are passed and to be filled with God's love. Let's prepare for communion by singing together number 176. The first and last verses sing of God made manifest. Here at the table, we glimpse the manger behind us, having just celebrated Christmas, and the cross before us as Lent and Easter are already nearing on the horizon. In the calendar year of the church, this day is celebrated as Epiphany, a day of revealing, when the Magi followed the star and brought gifts to the Christ child. In our secular calendars, it's the first of the year, a time of resolutions and new beginnings. Here at the table, whether you seek revelation or a new beginning, it is offered freely through Jesus. As we come to the table, we remember the night when he met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
On this first Sunday of another new year, most loving God, we eat this bread and take this cup with a sense of newness and anticipation as we remember Jesus at this table. Grant us the insight, O God, to see more clearly the path you would have us follow in the days of the coming year. Be with us in our efforts to know your will and to serve you more faithfully. Amen.
This weekend I was looking for New Year's devotions in preparing to share with chapel this morning. And I came across this saying, "No one can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending." This is an interesting statement to me. It's definitely a different way to look at things, especially with New Year's resolution ideas everywhere. The conclusion is that we don't start over, but we begin again right where we are, making things better in our lives. Now, this would be an easy segue into resolutions of increasing pledges and having a different looking budget at the end of the year. But we've already had our stewardship campaign, and I want us to think today about the other ways that God calls us to share. What if in our New Year's resolutions, we would desire to have a deeper commitment, a deeper love, and a deeper worship for the Lord? This year, what if we were determined to make Him our all and all? He wants our undivided attention in spite of the distractions and temptations that lie waiting around the corner. God wants to be our main focus. How will we end this year? How we will end this year will be determined by how we started it. Do we want a new ending this year? As we pass our offering plates today, let us give thought to all the exciting things that God is calling from us for this church. Reflect on the blessings that God has placed in your life and how you can turn around and bless your fellow followers of Christ so that together we might shine a light into the lives of those who don't yet have a relationship with Jesus. The diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we ask that you bless these gifts and bless those who gave them. Lord, we ask that you bless those who need them. Lord, guide this church so that the use of these gifts may further glorify your name and shine a light into the darkness in our community. Amen.
I'm reading from the book of Isaiah, and you'll find the reading on page 763 in your pew Bible. And we'll begin with the 60th chapter here. The glory of Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. all assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Can you believe that? Young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All cedars, flock, will be gathered to you. The rams of Naboth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly along like clouds, like doves to their nests? Surely the islands look to me. In the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your sons from afar with their silver and gold. To the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Thus reads the end of the reading of Isaiah.
Our New Testament text today comes from Matthew. If you were in worship last Sunday, you heard this text. I invite you to listen again. Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they stopped, they saw that the star had stopped. They were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." We will hear again this story of the Magi, the gifts that they bring. In sharing of song, I invite you to take out your hymnal and turn to page 172, which is We Three Kings. The congregation will sing the first and last verses with the refrain, and Charles will share with us our middle three verses, which speak of each of the gifts brought to the manger.
Following yonder star. Oh. lamb's plain. Gold I bring to crown him again, King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, over raising, worshipping God on high.
And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Charles and Arlen, for the music. And thank you to Caleb and Evan and Sebastian for portraying those bringers of gifts for us. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, on this Epiphany Sunday, we find ourselves like the Magi, wandering, searching, longing to follow your light, eager to bring our gifts to you. Bless us in this coming year, gracious God, that we might wander along your way. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The prophet Isaiah, in numerous places, refers to the coming of the Messiah. In Isaiah 60, this morning, we heard those familiar words, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." On Epiphany Sunday, as we tell again the story of the Magi following the star, we think about what it means to follow the light of God. The wise men followed a star in the heavens, but that light merely pointed the way towards God's light revealed in Jesus Christ, whom we follow now. Isaiah foretold of gifts to be brought, of frankincense, of gold, of treasure carried by camels, that prophecy we hear fulfilled in the story told in Matthew 2. We're told that in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. The Magi, the wise men, were scholars of their time, astrologers or astronomers. They studied the heavens looking for signs. And they had seen a sign that was life-changing. In ancient times, it was a commonly held belief that the heavens, the stars above the earth, revealed portents of coming events. The appearance of such a great star surely spoke of the appearance or birth of a great man, a king. And so the story goes, three kings came from the east. Matthew doesn't tell us that there were three of them. We learn there are three gifts, but we don't know how many people might have been in that entourage that traveled. Showing up at Herod's front door, where else would you go if you were looking for a king but to the center of power? When Herod heard that the king of the Jews was to be born, he was frightened and all Judea with him. A phrase like that held power to it. The king of the Jews. It could mean there'd be an uprising. The Jewish people would take over. Power would be usurped and Herod would be thrown from his throne. So fear reigned in the land. Oftentimes at Christmas, we tell together the story from Luke of the shepherds greeted by angels and the story of the wise men who followed the star. And it seems to paint such a pretty picture, a tableau of a manger scene, Mary and Joseph and these wonderful guests gathered around. Chances are the shepherds and wise men never met each other. The shepherds got there first and then went back to work. The Magi followed that star for quite a long time. Jesus may have been even as old as two by the time the wise men came bearing their gifts. And what strange gifts they seem to our modern sensibilities. Who would give a baby frankincense or myrrh? Gold we get, it's always a nice present, right? Theologically, symbolically speaking, much has been made through the generations of the meaning of those gifts. Gold, fit for a king, a sign of power and wealth. At the time when Jesus was born, frankincense was also a very costly commodity, perhaps the most expensive gift you could ever give. The three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh are gifts fit for a king. Incense and myrrh were both used in the temple. Frankincense was offered at times of prayer. It was burned, and the aroma rose to heaven, symbolizing the rising of people's prayers. So frankincense is often associated with someone who is a priest, but myrrh. Myrrh was used in burial rites to prepare a body before it was laid in the grave. So perhaps that gift is a foreshadowing of Jesus' death to come some 30 years later, after he was indeed hailed as the King of the Jews and paid the price for that title. In a very real sense, though, these were also just practical gifts. You may have seen little cartoons of the three wise men. You know, showing up, one has a box of gold, one has a perfume bottle, and one has a 6-foot-tall green monster next to him, Frankenstein. A little misinterpretation of the text. Or perhaps you've seen the cartoon that shows the three wise men coming, bringing the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and after they leave, the three wise women come with gifts of Pampers and gift certificates and baby formula. In a sense, this was a baby shower. The gifts were given, yes, to Jesus, but really to his mother, Mary. She was the one who could use them. Frankincense and myrrh both had medicinal properties. It's interesting to think about giving a new mother a gift of medicine to help her be healthy. Even in our modern age, childbirth is one of the most dangerous times of a woman's life. In developing countries around the world, many women die every day giving birth to children. The conditions in ancient times when Jesus was born were far from sanitary, especially when we think of Mary giving birth where animals lived. Bringing medicine to a mother who has just given birth would actually be a very practical way to keep her alive and honor the life of that child. The story continues on in Matthew. We didn't read the rest of the second chapter, but it tells of what happens with King Herod. You recall he asked those magi to come back and let him know where the baby is born so he can go and worship him. Wink, wink. Herod had no intention of worshiping a rival king. He did not want to pay him homage. No, in fact, he wanted to kill him. So when the wise men snuck out the back door of Bethlehem to head home, and Herod couldn't find the baby, he did what any sane ruling despot would do. If you can't find the one baby you need to kill, just kill them all. Herod ordered the death of every male child 2 years old and younger who could possibly live anywhere around Bethlehem. So the sweet story we think of at Christmas time with shepherds and angels and wise men bringing gifts morphs into a sad, horrific tale of wailing and grief. Mothers and fathers of infants who will not be comforted when Roman soldiers come and stab their precious babies. Such is the world in which we live. We want to hold on to the sweet story of Christmas. But the reality is, the world is still a place where women die in childbirth, and those who are unwanted, at best, are not given welcome, and at worst, are still put to the sword today. The wise men followed the star. My guess is it took them a while of wandering to get exactly where they needed to be. A few weeks ago, Nicholas mentioned that I'd shared with him a Facebook page called The Wandering Wise Men. It features three little toy wise men on their way trying to make it across one end of the living room to the other where the toy manger waits for them. The adventure includes a misdirected stop by the bathroom, a place of great hazard with a huge, foul-smelling pond of water which must be avoided. It includes stopping by the refrigerator, a mighty oasis of food to restock their supplies. There are other characters that these little toy wise men meet along the way, but finally they got there. They made it and found the manger. The wandering wise men have had me thinking what it means to be a faithful Christian. How nice it would be in this new year of 2016 to be able to say for all of us that our paths will be straight and true. We will follow God in all that we do. But the reality is we'll probably wander some along the way. Between now and next Epiphany in 2017, I imagine most of us will have a detour or two. That day when you had every good intention of getting up early to study scripture and instead you slept in and rushed out the door. That day when you really wanted to trust God in a time of crisis and yet you felt abandoned. It's okay, my friends. The truth is, wandering is part of our faith journey. It is perhaps the journey itself that teaches us so much about knowing God. If every single one of us had a perfect marriage every day, we probably wouldn't take the import we need for that most precious of relationships. It's in those times of struggle and question and doubt when we ask our friends to pray for us that we suddenly realize marriage is a gift from God. Thank you, Christ, for being with us on the journey. It's those broken relationships along the way that teach us so much about ourselves. And in the wandering, we find the light of God. It's interesting when we continue reading this story of Matthew that the wise men weren't the only ones who wandered. In verse 19, we hear the end of the story of this part of it. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Wait a minute. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. What's he doing in Egypt, a whole other country? Well, you see, the angel had warned the wise men not to go back to Herod. The angel also warned Mary and Joseph to flee for their safety. And so that tiny baby whom we hail as the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was in fact a refugee. He fled death, a newborn babe with his parents, to a foreign land. Thank goodness Egypt didn't put up a sign at the border saying, "No refugees, sorry, go away." They found a safe haven and waited out the slaughter of the innocents left back in Bethlehem. And then when Herod died, Joseph thought, "We can go home, it's safe." But the angel shows up again. The angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father, when the despot's son took power on the despot's throne, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, and he will be called a Nazarene. So, baby Jesus, in just the first couple years of his life, traveled from Bethlehem to Egypt, stayed in hiding, headed back home to Israel, and ended up in the town of Nazareth. He was wandering. The light of God was wandering. So no wonder that sometimes God's people wander, because we're trying to follow the light. It's a moving target. God doesn't just stay still in one place and let us have it all figured out and tie it up in a nice, neat bow. No matter how much we might like that to happen on Christmas morning, the rest of the year is about chaos and confusion and wandering. God is always on the move, always changing. So we are too. This epiphany, my friends, I invite you to follow the wandering light in the year to come. The light of God wanders. The light of God tells us that refugees are welcome. The light of God cautions against those who would use violence to hold on to power. The light of God wanders, with the blessing of people bringing gifts to share at a strange baby shower by a manger. The light of God keeps on moving. So let us too move forward together, not with a new beginning, but with a shared journey towards a new ending that God has yet to write. The journey has begun. You and I are invited to follow the wandering, wonderful light of Christ. May we do so. May we do so. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today is "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." You'll find an insert in your bulletin that has this beloved carol. It is based on a verse from Micah 5:5, "He will be their peace." And the song itself tells a story, so we will sing the full song. If there is anyone here today looking for a church home, looking for help as you wander around trying to follow the light of God, we would welcome you here at First Christian. By confession of faith and baptism, by transfer of membership, or by renewing your commitment to Christ, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Peace on earth, indeed. A very valid prayer for the coming year. My friends, there are refreshments downstairs in Fellowship Hall. You're invited to stay, have a cup of coffee, a drink of water, share a bit of refreshment with one another, and greet someone as this new year dawns with the love of Christ. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, strong, wonderful, wandering light of God, go forth before us from this place that we might follow you in all we say, in all we do, in all we are. Bless us, your wandering servants, to be faithful on the journey. In Jesus' name, amen.